list came out here a while back, about 10, 12 days ago, and it had a list of the 10 most hated people in the United States. Did anybody happen to see that list? Well, I'm a list person, so I guess who did? Yeah. Guess who number one was? Casey Anthony. Number two, I really never heard of. I didn't know who that was. And number three was Octomom, the one that had the eight babies. And in the Knowing God's Ministries, one of the names that I have the privilege of doing is El Shaddai. And El Shaddai in the Bible is listed as God Almighty or Almighty God. Whenever you see that, that's El Shaddai. And El Shaddai, I always use, is the Octomom, because the problem that they were concerned with Miss Octomom, was she had eight kids, was how was she going to feed all of them? And of course, one time I had a mama cat that had kittens, and she had one more kitten than she did feeding apparatus. And so it was interesting as a kid to find where all the little kittens were just knocking each other around, because it was kind of like musical chairs, except this was milk chairs, and somebody was going to lose out. And so the name of El Shaddai, that God introduced himself, has a very beautiful meaning, because it means the many-breasted one. And he literally says, as being the many-breasted one, I have enough paps to take care of every individual there is. And so that's a very beautiful name, because no matter what our problems are, no matter what our concerns are, whatever our needs are, he says, hey, I have enough that I can take care of you. Now, what in the world does that have to do with worship? Well, absolutely nothing. But I want to look at the book of Revelation, and this does have something to say, because the two books in the Bible that God uses the name El Shaddai for himself, the many-breasted one, I have enough to take care of any of your problems, is surprisingly, number one, the book of Job. That's where that name is mentioned the most times. Now, you can kind of see, look at all the problems that Job had, and yet you got God kept saying, I'm El Shaddai, I can take care of that problem. And we know the end result. Job moaned, he cried, he was unhappy, he said, I'd be better off dead, why was I born? But he came up at the end with the right observation, though you slay me, I still will trust you. El Shaddai. Second book in the Bible that El Shaddai is used the most, surprisingly, is the book of Revelation. And here again, the name that God uses, I'm the many-breasted one. I have everything that you'll ever need to make your life nourishable, and I can take care of you. Now, our lesson today is on the book of Revelation on worship. To me, to understand worship in the book, you must understand the book itself. So, those that have Bibles that want to turn to Revelation 1:1, open them up. And then I need Roger to hold on to Revelation 21:3. Somewhere along the line, I'll get to that one. All right, somebody read the first four or five words of Revelation. Yes, Skip.
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's far enough. What does your Bible say, Leroy?
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay, what does your Bible say, young man, that like, who did you know? Jethro Tull. I'm still stunned by that.
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now, what does yours say?
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, now why is that important? Well, let me tell you. This book is not about identifying a true church. This book is not about numbering a bunch of people, 144,000 to be exact. This book is not about defining what is a mark and what's not a mark. This book is not about interpreting and making sure that we have the right interpretations, which says that we're the right people on the right line. This book is a revelation of who? Of Jesus Christ. Now, we're told that this is a very important book, especially at the end of time. Now, how many of y'all think we live in the end of time? Well, I do too. However, I thought that in 1950, and I thought that in 1960, and people that lived in 1914 thought it was the end of time. In 1888, it could have been the end of time. So, whatever end of time means, whatever. We're one day closer because this is the first Sabbath since last week she's been here. So that just tells me that, see. The book is not about making sure we define right words better than anybody else. The book is about Jesus Christ. Now, I had the privilege, along with Roger, and going through the book of Revelation in our Friday night home church about a year or so ago. We went by almost verse by verse. And when you look at this book, and not trying to figure out, does it say the right things to make us look good, or does it say the right things to make him look bad? When you look at that book, with the only observation that the first verse says, what does this say about Christ? What does this say about our relationship? And in our lesson today, what does this say about worshiping Christ? All of a sudden, that book becomes a different book. And in my opinion, becomes very meaningful. Doesn't do away with the beauty of some of the things that are there, but yet it's most important. So today, I want to look at worship. Now, I want you to think for a second, and then I need your input and observation. Two things always fascinated me as a little kid. Well, really, there was a lot of things. But two things that I can talk about in this class fascinated me when I was a little kid. One was, how did the world begin? And I can literally remember it being in on Montana Street, 3319 Montana, and saying in bed, "No God, God." Yeah. No God, God. And I just couldn't comprehend it. Well, you're not supposed to. How are you folks doing? That's good. You're not supposed to comprehend it because can't understand it. But I do remember that. You know, there had to be nothing God in anyway. Still haven't answered it. Just trust Him. Another thing that wondered was, what in the world are you going to do in heaven for eternity? Now, one time with Sue, I found out what eternity was. Because she came to me and said, if you'll just buy a house in Grapevine that would make work easy for me, we will live there forever. And 3.5 years, we moved back to Arlington. So now I know eternity is about 3.5 years, see? 2.5. Well, I've given you the benefit of the doubt because everybody told me I pick on you. What do you think you're going to be doing when it comes to worship in heaven for eternity? Because this will give you an insight to what you think God is like. So who would like to go first? What do you think worship is going to be? 1,500,000 and 43 days from the first day of heaven. What does that mean? Don't get off with easy answers in this class. What does that mean?
Glorious.
Glorious. What does that mean?
Probably something we can't imagine.
Okay. Anybody else?
Singing.
Pardon?
Singing.
Okay. What else?
Well, I think it says that we're going to be building homes and...
Oh, I hope not.
And tending our garden.
Where's Mill? Where's Mill when I need him? Hey, I was broke and I hired Randy to do a garden in our home because I wasn't going to do it. So far, building homes, does these hands look like they want to build homes? And gardening, I hate gardening. What else?
Well, we can't understand it completely because we don't know perfection.
Okay, fair enough.
You like to travel, you like to talk. We know both of those.
All right. That's right, traveling big time.
Can you imagine? You said 1 million, how many?
500,000 in 40 days.
If you visited one of God's planets every year, okay, you still wouldn't be out of places to go visit, fellowship, praise God.
All right. That's absolutely right, and I want to come back to that one.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
By the time you're done building the planet, Sue will probably have it built by then.
Building and gardening is not a character flaw. That's the problem. What do you think you're going to do on worshiping God? So somebody said, same as from day one. Well, let's take day one. I think that's fair. Because we're told what we're going to do on day one.
Sing
praises.
Pardon? Sing praises.
Absolutely. On day one, when everything is settled. Now remember, let's keep everything in a perspective. Christ comes. The redeemed are translated and moved up. Those that have been dead are resurrected. And then we have 1,000 years of time. And when we're in heaven, what will we be doing during that 1,000 years?
Investigative judgment.
Investigative judgment, what?
What went on the earth.
Okay.
Who was saved and why they are.
Okay. And what else will we be doing? What do you think you're going to do? Got all these books or whatever. I doubt if it's a book. I doubt if it's a computer. That's just our interpretation. But whatever means God uses, I think he's past Bill Gates as far as computer up there. But whatever means that God uses, what are you going to be doing for 1,000 years? Need answers.
Spending time with God.
No. Well, we will a little, but that's not what the 1,000 years is for.
I'll be so happy till I don't know what I'll
do. Okay. What are you going to be doing?
Looking over the records.
Why?
See why we can't find people we love.
Why? By the way, that is correct. Why?
I think this will be examining the character of God. How God is and why. Because we don't know anything about God.
Why doesn't God say, well, I know that Uncle John's not here. I know you're sad. Just trust me. Why doesn't he say that? Oh, that's not true. Oh, we're going to come to a text in a minute.
He wants us to know who he is.
What?
He wants to know who he is.
We will trust him. Now here comes an honest person. Mill.
Yeah.
This guy says that in heaven that I'm going to have the pleasure of digging up and planting gardens. Would you get him corrected? God is a God who can say, I am powerful. You're here because you trust me, because that is our only passport to heaven. It's not what we do, not what day we keep, what we eat, what we do. Is we trust and we have a relationship with Him. So God could say, well, just trust me on Uncle John. And we would. It's not the way God operates. God wants you to come to your conclusions based upon the relationship with Him. So for 1,000 years, we'll have the privilege, and I don't know how, don't know what means, but we'll have the privilege of going and seeing exactly what went through Uncle John's life. And here's the most important part. We will see how God worked over and over and over and over appealing to Uncle John, just be one of my children, just accept and have a relationship, and come and spend eternity with me. And we will see where Uncle John over and over and over said, I want no part of this. And then we'll come to the conclusion that's very, very important. If Uncle John was here, he would hate every minute of it. Now, go through the Bible and look at people who made decisions against God. And how much did they want to be in God's presence? From the very beginning, when Satan sinned, he wanted out of heaven. Adam and Eve, when they just committed a small sin, eating a piece of fruit, what did they do when God come around? Ran, and they hid. What did Saul do when he come to the conclusion that his kingdom, by his choices, had made his decisions, was rent from him? He killed himself. What did Judas do when he began to understand what he had done? What did he do? He went out and hung himself. You cannot have sin in the presence of God. Not because of God's reaction, because that's a natural, it's the sinner's reaction that doesn't want to be there. And so for 1,000 years, we go through and we look and we question and we talk and we share and we come to the only conclusion that we can. God, you did everything you absolutely could do. And we accept that. And so now Christ comes and sets up His kingdom. And we're all gathered. And Revelation tells us exactly what we're going to do. I wonder if there'll be any offerings in heaven. Wouldn't that be nice? Tells exactly what we're going to do. When we see Jesus, we're going to take our crowns, the crowns that we have, and what are we going to do with them? We're going to throw them at the feet of Jesus. Why? Why? God is love. What else? Why?
Salvation was a gift to us.
Right. He came to this earth, laid aside everything He had in heaven, and as He ministered for 3.5 years, wherever He went, He said, you see me? This is what God would do if He Himself was right here. You see these 10 little lepers? I'm going to heal all of them. And they all went away. One of them came back and said, I guess better off thanking. The other 9 just kept running. Still healed. Because that's who He is. And He says, by the way, if the Father was here, He'd have done the same thing. And then He said, I've got to go to the cross. I've got to demonstrate and show you that if you take that separation from God, the automatic result of separating from the life giver is death. Not that God requires or has to have. It's a matter of fact. Separate from God, you die. And as we look at the cross, we have choices, just as the people there at the cross had. Live with God and live. Choose Satan and die. And when we see Jesus, the automatic response is going to be, take off our crowns, bow, and say, worthy, worthy, worthy. And we're going to give Him our praise and our adoration and our thankfulness. And we're going to bow and we're going to sing a new song. Why are we going to sing a new song? By the way, the whole universe is going to be watching this, see? We're the only ones in the universe that has gone through this struggle. My granddaughter, bless her heart, well, Grandpa, you just don't know what it's like to be me. The answer is, I don't. Through experience, I have answers, but I don't. And see, us who've gone through this sinful world, we're going to have a new song because we're the only ones that know the words. We're the only ones that's been through this struggle. We're the only ones that had to sit down, as Joshua say, choose you this day who you're going to serve. The worlds, all the other worlds a long time ago made that decision before anything ever happened. But we went through the struggle. And are we going to have a song to sing? And there's going to be happiness. There's going to be a praise. There's going to be everything. Because God did it for us. Y'all see these stories? Y'all see these stories of people who give kidneys so a stranger gives a kidney so they can live and all of this? How do you think that person feels? Man, and Daddy, what can I do? Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to have that gratitude for God. Now here's a very beautiful scripture. Revelation, that's going to answer your question about tears in heaven. Revelation 21:3.
And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people.
Okay, now let's get this. Tabernacle's going to be there. God's dwelling among them. He's going to be His people. And what?
And He shall dwell among them.
Okay, the next passage.
And they shall be His people. And God shall be among them. And He shall wipe away everything.
No, go back to the first one. You missed the word.
He shall dwell among them. And they shall be His people. And God Himself.
Right there. Do you get it? God Himself. Now in the Greek, and I did check it, very emphatic, it's not just a translation, God Himself will be there. And then what's the next step that God does?
And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.
Okay. This is well after the 1,000 years. You see, you're going to be sadness in heaven for a period because you're looking for people that aren't there. You found out that there's people that wasn't there. You're sitting there saying, you know, if somebody, wouldn't it be just great if Uncle John was here with us? And God Himself will come and wipe away your tears. Now, here's my question when it comes to worship. What are we going to do the first day? Oh, we're going to sing. We're going to shout. We're going to pray. We're going to fall prostrate on the ground. We're going to cast our crowns. And then we see God 1,000 years from now. And we're going to take off our crowns and throw Him at His feet, lie prostrate on the ground, sing a song and pray to Him. And then we're going to see a God 1,000,000 years from now. And we're going to stop everything we're going to do. We're going to take our crown off, throw it at His feet, sit down, sing a song, bow down and pray. Is that your vision of your relationship with God for eternity? Now, you ever been in the company of somebody that, you know, is, I guess, the most famous person I've been in the company of for 45 seconds, that count, was Vice President Hubert Humphrey. Had the pleasure of meeting him one time. Didn't vote for him, but I met him. But you know, if you're with a stuffed white shirt, what kind of fun is that to be around after a while? You know what I'm talking about? Where everything is so stiff, everything is so formal, everything is yes sir, no sir, yes sir, no sir, not much of a relationship. In my opinion.
Who have time to burn the garden?
Low on my list. Rubik's Cube will be for the garden. There is a time when we're going to be so moved. Let me tell you what I think we're going to be doing in heaven. God, come over here and sit down. I got some things I want to discuss with you. Because it's just, I'm very interested. Now guess what I'm going to ask Him about? Where did you go wrong on this 2,300-day prophecy that I've worked so hard on myself? God, did you really miss this point? Because I thought it was this point. And God's going to say, He's just going to kind of, you know, He says, you know, Ernie, up here in heaven, every time you got on that tangent, we just kind of laughed. We knew that you meant good. But let me kind of tell you, what I had in mind when I gave that over in Daniel. Well, I sure would appreciate if you would share that with me. You think I'm far-fetched? Well, there's going to be a whole group of people that are going to say, this is interesting, but why am I here? And how did I get here? And we're told that Jesus is going to take this group and He's going to take them over by the river and He's going to begin His conversation by saying, hi, my name is Jesus and let me bring you up to date on things that have happened. And He's going to begin to educate them on why they are who they are in heaven. I I think the devil has done a tremendous job on making God so high. Because remember, he said he wanted to be just like him. Highest compliment, by the way, anybody can give. But he's made God so high that we never think of him as our friend, the one that loves us, the one that cares, that he's approachable, that we can talk to him, we can share our problems, we can discuss things with him. They have him so far removed that we think, some people will say, every time we see him, we're going to fall like the angels, just prostrate on the ground. I'm telling you, it's going to get boring. Because that's not what God wants us up there for. He says, if I need somebody to glorify me, I'll have the rocks in the mountains do that. But that's no fun. God is our... I'll let you ask a question. You're getting into the time where you can ask a question, but it's passing. Yes, sir?
I was thinking about this when he created Adam and Eve. That whole experience, he was there with them.
Absolutely.
He wasn't there just...
Absolutely. Yeah, every evening in the cool of the evening, here he came, doing what he wanted to do the most. Sit down and talk to his children. What kind of day did you have today? Eve says, man, it's a great day. I worked in that garden all day long. Adam said, is there anything else to do, Lord, besides this gardening stuff? Every day. When Jesus came to this earth, he wasn't in the church all the time. He wasn't in the church office all the time. He wasn't sitting in the sanctuary waiting for the temple, waiting for someone to come to him. He was out among the people where he wanted to be. And he said to the woman in Samaria, give me some water. Oh, if you only knew what I had, lady. He was out with the lepers when he cleansed the temple. Who were the only ones left in the temple? The little children who were not scared to him at all. What do you think he's going to do in heaven and what God is going to do in heaven? He's going to be where he wants to be. Where did the text say he brought his temple down? Where?
Among men.
Among men. He wants to be among you. He wants to put his arm around you. And he wants to talk to you and share with you because that's why you're there. He did everything in the world to show to you he loves you, show to you he cares, and then he says, I've got to send my son down and show you that if you continue to go down the path of sin, this will lead to destruction. Not to be worshipped, to be among you, share with you, talk with you.
You think that we're going to have a special assignment when we get there?
Oh, absolutely. Going to come right back. I said thank you. Yeah. Here's one of the privileges that we're going to have. We're going to be celebrities. We're going to go throughout the universe and share what God did in our lives. Because nobody else has that experience. I met a Jewish person in El Paso, Frank Klein. Was in Auschwitz. Had the tattoo. Had a twin brother. Twin brother they did all the experiments on, and he died. They didn't on Frank. And when the Americans came through, he was rescued. Kind of an interesting story. He said he would go to tailor shops and stuff and everything, and when they saw that Osterwich tattoo, and he bought a suit, he'd say, "Now, what do I owe you for everything? You owe us nothing." And it was fascinating. He didn't want to talk too much, but I got to know him business-wise. Got to know him, and it was fascinating for him to tell some of the things that happened. Now, I knew the result. He's alive. He got out. He's escaped. He's sitting right there. But it was fascinating. How did you feel? We're going to go through eternity. Sitting down with people throughout the universe, and we're going to tell our story. How did you feel, man? I was sunk deep. I thought I had no hope, and here came God. Here's God put His arm around me. Here God sent this person. And we're going to tell our story. And they'll just shake their heads and say, "Oh, we trust and we love God. We never went through that. But man, boy, you have a bond with God that we just don't have." So we will be witnesses throughout eternity. What makes you think that sin will not rise again? Is it that we don't have the free will to do it? Well, if He's going to take away freedom of choice, what a joke. Why didn't He just take it away in heaven when it began? We won't sin in heaven because we know what will happen, what with the controversy's over. There is no doubt. And so we'll go through eternity telling our story. Coming back, what God has done in our life. By the way, same testimony we ought to give today. People aren't interested in what you think are the proof texts in the Bible of what you should do or not do. Been arguing them for centuries. They're interested in is, tell me some good news. Tell you what God has done in my life. So practice your story so that when you go to planets that you never heard of, you can tell the same story. That's what we're interested in. What is worship? Worship is being around the one who loves you the most. And you love him. It's going to be some times that you're going to put your arms around him and you're going to just say, "I just can't tell you again how much I appreciate what everything you've done in my life." But there's going to be some times when you're going to laugh. When you're going to share. It's my viewpoint of worship. As I always say to Sue, that's my story. I'm sticking with it. I hope from this that you don't look for the minutia. You do look in your mind for eternity. What are you and God going to do? Father in heaven, I love the text in Revelation 21:3 that says when your temple comes down, you yourself will be among the people. And you will come and wipe the tears from their eyes. You've done that forever. From the Garden of Eden till the time we're in heaven. May you help each one of us see that you've always introduced yourself by many names, showed yourself in the Old and New Testament. But all of it has been, I just want to be with you and you with me. Because that is what makes heaven. Fellowship for eternity with you and the ability for us to tell our stories of what you've done in our life. Precious name of Jesus. Amen.